Thank you for that. I could have sworn that was my mama at the piano, Nyleen. And that was one of my daddy's favorite songs. How special. Thank you so much. Well, y'all have been talking about heroes, and I know you just got done with Bible school, and it was hero-themed, and 2 weeks ago, Pastor Stephen kind of introduced that and had y'all call out, you know, what you thought about when you thought about heroes. And my sons and I love hero movies. It's funny, my husband not so much. So Mama goes with the sons to the hero movies. And I love Spider-Man. He's probably one of my favorites. I also really love Iron Man. And then, you know, one superhero wasn't enough, right? One superhero at a time, we had to put them all together and have the Avengers and all the Avengers movies, which I've seen them all. And we talked a little bit about what it means to be a hero. What do all of our heroes have in common? Well, superheroes are our risk takers and our rule breakers for justice, of course. And they fight against evil and they go to great lengths to save people. They are strong and courageous, and they do what is right regardless of the cost. Maybe we watch those movies because deep down, we want to be superheroes ourselves. They inspire us. When Stephen asked what we liked about superheroes, I called out, they make us think that maybe we could be superheroes, that we could do something. Wouldn't it be cool to fight against evil and be strong and courageous and take risks in the name of justice? So what stops us? Fear? Anxiety? Not wanting to make a mistake? Maybe not wanting to look silly or step out of our comfort zone? We could live life abundantly if we were just not so afraid to take risks. Well, today, of course, we're talking about fathers, and it's appropriate that we talk today about one of our great heroes of the Bible and the greatest father of all time, Abraham. You remember that song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Now, it goes on and on and on. If we were in vacation Bible school, we'd do all the hand motions, and we'd turn around, and we would get dizzy. But I'm not going to make y'all do that today. Ooh, I'm dizzy. We're just going to talk about it. Well, in the first part of the story, when we find Abraham, we think about him being the father of all nations. But you remember the story, if you think back, he almost wasn't the father of all nations, right? One day, God called to him and he told him, I want you to leave your land. I want you to take your family. Leave your father's household, and I'm going to take you to this new land that I'm going to show you, and I will make you the father of great nations, and I will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. Now, by the way, Abraham was 75 years old when he got this instruction, when God called him. But Abraham was a man of extreme faith who put his hope and his trust and his faith in God. Several years ago, there was a tightrope walker who put up a line between two high-rise sky buildings. And one morning, he stands out on the top of the building and he begins to cross one building to the other on the tightrope. And crowds began to gather and to watch him up above as he walked across and he asked if they think he can do it. He kind of calls down to him, you think I can do this? Yeah, you can do it. So he continues on across. Carefully, slowly, he teeters his way to the other side. Reaching the other side, he then gets a wheelbarrow. And he asks the crowd if they think that he can push this wheelbarrow from one side to the other on this tightrope. And they nod, yeah, you can do it, you can do it. And the tightrope calls out to a man and says, sir, do you think I can make it? He says, yes, you can make it. So the walker says, then prove your faith by riding in the wheelbarrow. That's a lot of faith. Think think about it. Abraham was called to get in the wheelbarrow and trust God. He was called to go to a new country in his retirement. That's, you know, going to Florida in your retirement is a little bit different than going to a whole new country, leaving everybody that you know. There weren't any phones back then. He was not calling anybody. He was just about ready to kick back and relax on the beach. He thought his journey was almost up, but God told him that his mission was just beginning. God called him to leave his region, his ethnic group, his extended family. God demanded that he leave the basis of his security, his trade, his identity. And the amazing thing is that Abraham said yes. He was obedient to God's call on his life, and he left everything behind without question. Abraham didn't even ask why. Those of us that have children, fathers, when you ask them to do something, what's the first thing that they say? Why? And that's when our fathers and our mothers say what? Because I said so. That's why. It's funny to think about that, but there's actually a lot of truth in that statement. If we to assume that they love us and they know what's best for, we know what's best for them, then they would understand that because I said so is enough. God said, because I said so. But Abraham didn't ask why. And he had true obedience to God. He left everything behind without question. My mother used to tell a story, and I think I might have shared this before, about a little boy and his father, and they were walking one day, and they lived close to a train track, and they were just kind of taking a little stroll, and his father stopped to talk to one of the neighbors, and he got engrossed in the conversation, and before he knew it, he realized his young son was not by his side. And fear gripped him, and the first thought was, oh no, he's on that train track, and he looked out in the distance, and sure enough, there he stood right in the middle of the train track, and just about that time, he heard the whistle blowing, and there wasn't enough time for him to get to where he was to the train track to save him. So all he could do was call out to the young boy and tell him to get down. Immediately, the little boy dropped down and laid flat, and the man rushed over to the tracks just as the train was leaving, and the little boy stood up, and he was without a mark. He was fine. Now, had that little boy asked why, the story would have turned out differently. But he didn't. The boy obeyed his father immediately without question. Abraham trusted his father and knew God loved him and wanted what was best for him. Hebrews tells the story of Abraham in this way, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was working forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful, who had been the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So because Abraham and Sarah believed that God would be faithful, they were given the gift of a child at 199, almost 25 years after leaving their homeland. God was faithful and allowed them to have their greatest blessing, a child. And from that child would come many nations. They waited 25 years for God to fulfill his promise. What patience, huh? Most of us get upset waiting in the Starbucks line. or in line at Walmart, especially if you have to check yourself out. But Abraham and Sarah continued to have faith. We can't think about heroes without acknowledging their courage. You know, courage is the opposite of fear. Abraham and Sarah had so many reasons to be afraid. Fear of the unknown. Lack of control. Isn't that one we have so often? Leaving your home and your family. The promise of having a child at such an old age and worry with that and complications. Many of us would have been stunned with fear and anxiety when facing just one of those circumstances. Some could argue that Abraham was not always courageous. It's true, if you look back, that Abraham had his share of mistakes, and he was not always fearless. But that doesn't change the fact that he had courage to do what God asked of him. He prayed to God and walked in faith despite his many fears. That takes courage. A couple of years ago, there was a movie that I really loved. It was called The Space Between Us, and it was about these astronauts that were getting ready to journey to Mars. And one of the men that was journeying to Mars was in a television interview right before he left, and he was asked by one of the reporters, "Aren't you scared?" And the crew leader replied, "I was taught that people who took risks without fear were brave, but far braver are those that take risks despite their fear." Courage is fear that sends prayers and has faith in God. Abraham not only listened and obeyed, but he took action. That's something that our superheroes do. They take action. They do what they must. They do what must be done to protect and to defend and to save. And we know what that looks like for our superheroes. They run and they scoop people up and they fly them out of danger, out of the way. Or maybe they run really fast like the Flash, one of my other favorite superheroes. But what does it mean for us? We can't fly, we can't run super fast. I can't really run very fast at all anymore. I sure can't jump. How are we to be superheroes? We take action by loving others and helping others the way Jesus would. John 8, verses 37 through 42, Jesus is being questioned and challenged by the religious authorities, as he often was. And after a little back and forth discussion, Jesus gets right to the point and he tells him this: "I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place for you in my world. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are indeed doing what your father does," they said to him. "We are not illegitimate children. We have one father, God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." We are to follow the example of Jesus, to see the world through the eyes of the Father. Really see people, listen to their stories, have compassion for them. We cannot begin to do all that God calls us to do until we really open our eyes. I always thought that my eyes were open, that I was serving God. But in the last year as executive director of Urban Ministries, my eyes have been opened even further. Really opened. You have heard some of the things that we do at the Grace Assistance Program that Debbie has shared with you. You have helped in so many ways there. We also have a safe house which is unfortunate, especially on Father's Day, that there are those that have to go to a safe house to flee from the men or women in their lives that are abusing them. And when you spend time talking to those people and seeing them come in and out the doors, the children that sometimes come with them, we learn what it really means to see the world through Jesus' eyes. Before Jesus ascended back to his Father, he commissioned the disciples to go out into the world. And God still sends us out today to a hurting world, a world in need of God's love, a world that can only be saved by God's love. God calls us, his people, to be risk takers, to be the superheroes. He asks us to be challenged and changed, transformed, transplanted. God calls us to care for our neighbors, to offer them love and grace, and to go to great lengths to save them. We say in our United Methodist vows when we become members of the church that we will stand up. I love this part. We will stand up against evil, injustice, and oppression. Doesn't that sound like a superhero? In essence, God calls us to be superheroes. God calls us to be his hands and his feet and his wings. He challenges all of us to have a little faith like Abraham, to go where God calls us to go, to be obedient to the Lord, to wait patiently on his promises, to have courage and to do God's will despite our fears, and to share our faith with the next generation. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for the examples that you have put in our lives. Lord, we are your disciples. We claim your name. Lord, we want to be like you. We are your servants. Take our minds and enlighten them. We ask that you take our hearts and awaken them. Lord, take our hands, use them. Not that we might be made great through you, but that you might be made great through us. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, amen.